Do you know that our Heavenly Father loves it when His precious children come near to worship Him? This is Pastor Tom Martin of Knox Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Silver Spring, Maryland, inviting you to worship our God on this Lord's Day, March 29, 2020. Not only does God love His people's worship, He's made it possible for us to come to Him by giving us His Son. He opens up a way. He invites us in. He greets us with words of peace, and our hearts sing for joy. Will you listen as God calls His people to worship Him? Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. People of God, peace be unto you, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have not abandoned us as orphans. You have bought us with the blood of your beloved Son. You've made us your sons and daughters in Jesus. And that through our Savior, you give us food and drink. He is our bread of life. He is our living water. He breathes into us the Holy Spirit, who teaches us that we can address you with reverence, but with confidence, as Abba, Father. We pray that you would meet with us now, that you would restore our souls and lead us in paths of righteousness for your own name's sake. Amen. At this time, you may pause the recording and sing the words of Trinity Hymnal number 172. Let us love and sing and wonder. Let us praise the Saviour's name. Hymnal number 172. Now we read from the Old Testament. If you'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10, we're going to read verses 12 through 22. In these verses, Moses reminds the people that God has loved them and that they're to show love for God by obeying Him and by caring for others who are in need. So will you listen? Here is God's word, Deuteronomy chapter 10, beginning at verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet the Lord set His heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you are this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve Him and hold fast to Him, and by His name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of heaven. That's the word of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy that you loved us when we were needy, when we were lost, confused, broken, frightened, without hope, when we deserved no good thing. You gave us your Son and you have made us rich in him. We ask that you would help us to love you. We love because you first loved us. Our Father, we pray that you would teach us to love, that you would give us hearts responsive to your commandments, and that prompted by your Holy Spirit, we would demonstrate the love of the Lord Jesus by showing love for others. We pray for those who are in need, and they are many. There are some who are worried about their jobs, some who are anxious about bills, some who are wondering how they'll get food or afford clothing, some who are fearful for their health, concern for their loved ones. We pray that you would be a comforter to them, but we ask that you would help us to find ways to care for them. We pray that you would give us servant hearts, that you would give us deacon hearts, that you would give us the heart of the Lord Jesus. We pray for the workings of your Holy Spirit in us, because the Holy Spirit brings forth a sweet fruit of love, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. We pray that by your grace we would be people demonstrating such rich fruit, that in doing so we would show forth the Lord Jesus. And we ask now that you would hear our prayers as we bring them to you in the name of Jesus, who, though he was rich, for our sakes became poor, so that by his poverty we might become rich. We pray in his name. Amen. Turn with me in your copy of the scriptures to the book of Revelation, which of course comes not just at the end of the New Testament, but right at the very end of the Bible. It's the Lord Jesus' final word to his people. And I thought it would be good for us on these occasions to walk together through the book of Revelation. Often we think of Revelation as uncharted territory that causes us to be put off. But in actual fact, for almost 2,000 years, the book of Revelation has been a guide for God's people as they make their way through the otherwise uncharted territory of the world in which they find themselves, which of course is the same world in which we find ourselves today. Will you listen to God's word? Revelation chapter 1, reading verses 1 through 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. That's the word of God. Let's pray for his blessing on it. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that as we come to perhaps a less familiar part of your word, that you would be our instructor. We thank you that you make wise even those who are simple. And so we pray that we would come with the hearts of those who desire to be taught. We pray that you would instruct us, but we ask that you would comfort us with the assurance of your presence and with the awareness of your indwelling Holy Spirit, who guides your people and gladdens their hearts. Be with us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We all love a good book, don't we? And maybe we've a little bit more time to read these days than we might otherwise have. And maybe you're looking around for something that's good and useful to read. I want to invite you to come with me into the book of Revelation. And maybe you were struck by the last verse that we read just now, verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. The word blessed, as you may know, has the idea of happiness. This is a book for happy readers. And of course, it's a God-given happiness. The blessing comes from God. This is actually the only book in the Bible that has this promise. But of course, what's true of the book of Revelation in that regard is true of all of Scripture. Scripture brings blessing to those who read. It leads to happiness. It instructs us in the ways of God. In fact, it brings us into relationship with God through the Lord Jesus. And as you think of Revelation chapter 1 verse 3, you might think of the words of the Queen of Sheba speaking to King Solomon. She was absolutely amazed at what she saw in Solomon's court. She was amazed at the wisdom that Solomon demonstrated. And in 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 8, she says to Solomon, "Happy are your men, happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom." These are happy people because they hear your wisdom. They're in your presence. They're instructed by you. And now someone greater than Solomon has come. And he is the one who gives us the happy message, the blessed message. It's good news. It's gospel. Revelation unpacks for us the fullness of the gospel, the good news about what Jesus has done. And so I want you to look, first of all, at the one who reveals these things to us. And I want you to look at verses 1 and 2 with me. Did you notice the way in which the message of Revelation has been passed along? Listen carefully and I'll read those two verses again. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw." Now, right at the very beginning stands God. We're told that this message, this book is given by God. He's the Heavenly Father. He's our Heavenly Father. He's the one who rules over all. The message is given to Jesus. And did you notice as well that it's described as being a prophecy? Jesus is the greatest of the prophets. He's the one who takes what God makes known and makes that known to the people of God. And in this case, John tells us that that message given by God to Jesus is carried by an angel. Angel, of course, being a messenger. And when we come to the book of Revelation, it's one of those parts of Scripture where there seem to be a lot of angels. We meet a lot of angels in the book of Revelation. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 that the unfallen angels are the servants of God's people. That's an amazing thing. That passage says that those angels are sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. So God appoints angels to serve his people. So the message given by God through Jesus by way of an angel comes to John. We meet John in verse 2, and John tells us that he was a very careful reporter of all that he was shown. Here's John, one of the apostles, and John, like the other apostles, gives us a very careful and accurate Holy Spirit-directed report, record of what they've been taught by God through Jesus. And then there's a final link in the chain, because that message from God through Jesus by an angel that came to John comes at last to his servants. And you might say, well, whose servants are being referred to right there? And of course, the servants are the servants of God, the servants of Jesus, Christians. There's a very important chain of communication here, from God to us through the Lord Jesus. And think with me about that for a moment, because that's a marvelous thing. And if we're thinking about the blessedness that comes through reading a book like this, we might remember back to the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus where Nicodemus struggled to understand what Jesus was saying. And in John chapter 3, verse 11, Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we bear witness to what we have seen." Jesus, who comes down from heaven, has seen, he knows, he bears witness, he tells of the things of God. But Jesus goes on to comment regarding Nicodemus, "You do not receive our testimony." In other words, the message was coming from God through Jesus to Nicodemus, but Nicodemus and others as well were refusing to receive, or were not believing the testimony, the message that Jesus brings. It's a very wonderful thing for us to have a message that comes from God, that's made known to us by Jesus. And in discerning between truth and falsehood, in distinguishing between what's fact and what's fiction, in discriminating between what's just the fancies or imaginations of our minds, or the desires of our fallen hearts, and what is real and true and accurate and reliable, it is essential that we listen to the Lord Jesus, that we know the truth that comes to us from God, because there's blessing, there's happiness that comes through that. And we recall how the Shorter Catechism describes the Lord Jesus and his work as the prophet. Question and answer 24. Christ executes the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. So here's Jesus, the one who is the revealer of truth about God. And he reveals that truth for a reason. And we saw the reason given in the verses that we read. Did you notice right there in verse 1? It is to show his servants the things that must soon take place. In other words, this message of revelation, this book that brings happiness to those who read, it alerts Jesus' servants. It alerts Christians to things that are going to happen. And there's a little bit more explanation given in verse 3. "Blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near." In other words, Jesus' servants are being given instructions on what they are to do. So the book of Revelation, like the rest of the Bible, it's not just information for us to learn, but it's instruction for us to obey. And it's easy for us to imagine why that should be so. If we think of the idea of masters and servants, if the master says to his servants, "An important guest is going to arrive," well, the servants know that they need to prepare a welcome. They need to make ready the best guest room. They need to lay out all the things that are necessary in order to provide for the comfort of that special guest. Or on the other hand, if the master of the house tells his servants that there is a thief or a robber or a mischief maker around, then the servants are going to want to be sure that they've locked the doors, latched the windows, and made the place safe. Or again, if the master announces that there's going to be a great banquet, well, then the servants are going to move into action to make ready for the feast. They're going to make preparations. They're going to have their aprons snowy white. They're going to have their jackets pressed. They're going to be presenting themselves in the very best possible way. And of course, they're going to provide for that occasion. And that's the very that's the kind of thing that the book of Revelation is about. There's an important person coming, and so we should be ready and making preparations for his arrival. There's a mischief maker around, and so we need to be on guard. We need to be alert. We need to be taking precautions. And yes, there's also a great banquet planned, and so we should be ready for that. And in Revelation, we're told particularly we should be properly dressed to be ready for that great celebration. So the reason the book of Revelation is given to us, the point is in order that the servants of the Lord Jesus can be making the preparations that need to be made so that they can be conducting themselves in the right way as events unfold. And so Jesus tells us the kinds of things that are lying ahead down the road so that we can be ready for them and not taken by surprise by them and not be frightened or bewildered, dismayed or confused when those things come to pass. And that, of course, then brings us to the reader, as we meet the reader in verse 3. Listen, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Now, do you read out loud? One of our children, when she was very little, came across her mom, and her mother was sitting quietly with a book on her lap, and there she sat, and our daughter played alongside her for a while, and then after a while asked, "Mummy, what are you doing?" You see, our daughter, when she read, she always read aloud, and young people read out loud. And the idea that someone would read into themselves, would read silently, seemed really strange. Surely the normal thing to do is to read out loud. Verse 3 talks about reading out loud, but verse 3 gives us a picture of Jesus' church. And yes, we should read God's word in our families. We should read God's word by ourselves. We might read it out loud. We might read it silently to ourselves. That's all very well and good. But we expect the Holy Spirit to work powerfully and to work in a very special kind of way when God's people gather around the word as it's read and expounded. And so John is giving this letter, this book, he's giving it to the church, and John anticipates that there's going to be someone who will stand up in front of the congregation, who will read the book of Revelation, and who will expound the book of Revelation. That person occupies a blessed role in the life of God's people, but also there comes blessing to those who hear. Now, think about that for a moment. That's one reason why in these days we pray that God will remove the crisis that we're experiencing so that we can gather together as the people of God. And we look forward to doing that. But of course, while we might look forward to doing that in a special way at this time, God's people realize that it's vital for them that they be in the place where God's word is read aloud. And as the church gathers around God's word. It doesn't gather around the word, the words of men. It doesn't gather around human words or human ideas. The church gathers around the word of God, because as God's word is read aloud, the people of God recognize the voice of the Lord Jesus, who speaks to his people through his word. And so we begin to see why the people who read God's word are happy, blessed people. They're the servants of a master who knows exactly what's going to happen. Did you notice that in the verses that we read? The master whom we serve is a master who knows the things that are going to happen. The special occasions, the important arrivals, the glorious feasts, but also the times of trouble and trial and difficulty, times of sickness, times of want. And the Lord Jesus is never surprised by any of those things. He knows. And because he knows, he wants his people to be well equipped so that when these kinds of things come along, his people aren't frightened or confused or bewildered or doubting. But they're listening for the voice of the Lord Jesus, who speaks through his word and brings blessing to those who read and hear his truth. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Let's pray together. Our Father, we ask that you would give us ears to hear and hearts that gladly soak up the word of your truth. We pray that you would nourish our hungry souls, that you would strengthen us in our weakness. We pray that you would gladden our hearts as we recognize not just the voice, but the presence of the Savior who is with his people. We pray it in his name. Amen. At this time, you may pause the recording and sing the words of Trinity Hymnal number 165, Ye Servants of God, Your Master Proclaim. Trinity Hymnal number 165. And now, people of God, will you lift up your hearts with joy to receive the Lord's benediction, his word of blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and always. Amen.